It's hard to say when it all started. My morning routine is pretty mundane, and I kind of just float on through it. Sitting down in my brown recliner that after years of use has conformed perfectly to my body, I would turn on the TV. I don't watch TV, so the channel never needs to be changed. So I just sip my coffee as the news plays in the background. The news acts as background noise, something to disturb the silence as I shuffle through social media on my phone. Occasionally, if a story catches my interest, I'll peek up from my phone and keep a vague eye on the TV. Just last week, I was going through the motion and heard a story about some local businesses that had protesters outside of it, something about unfair pay. The name of the place was familiar to me, so I momentarily peered at the screen. The camera was focused on the reporter going over the details, and behind him was a crowd of protesters by the street. The news embellished it quite a bit, making the group sound like a pact of people that filled up the block, but it was just a handful of people with hands full of signs. Cars were driving by and honking their horns. That's when one of the males tripped on the curb and the car swept him off his feet. With the camera swiveling to keep the focus on the reporter, I could see the man's body ragdoll in the air until it smacked against the pavement. The people continued chanting their mantra, and the reporter continued speaking on the issue. No one batted an eyelash. Even the car that had struck the man pulled away without bothering to check on the man. I would have just assumed my eyes had deceived me, but every time the camera would spin around just right, I could see his body still in the streets. The camera lingered on the body for just long enough for me to observe his twisted corpse. The fabrics of his red flannel shirt and blue jeans were pulled in unnerving directions by his broken body. The reporter then signed off and gave it back to the newsroom. I thought that surely someone there must have heard or seen the man get hit. There was no way that many people just didn't pay attention to it, or that no other nearby driver stopped. At the time, I convinced myself that perhaps someone was helping the man that was off camera, or the paramedics had indeed been called. I shook it off and went about my day. Although, as I shifted through my clothing, my hands drifted over my flannel shirt. It reminded me of the one the man was wearing. So I pulled it out of the closet, and on the sleeves were several tears in the fabric. It had to be a coincidence. I convinced myself before stuffing it back into the closet and going about my day. I wore dress pants that day. The sun set on that day without incident, and before I knew it, soft golden rays were peeking through my window blinds to wake me. I sat up and once again mindlessly paced through my apartment to get ready for work as my coffee was being prepared. My fingers slipped around the cup's handle and was carried over the chair. There was always an hour for me just to sit and relax before work. So I sat down, pulled my phone out, and turned the TV on. It was then I learned that if a coincidence happens twice, then it really isn't a coincidence. Almost immediately, I was enthralled by the news. Some renegade idiot had thought it would be a fun idea to go on an early morning joyride with someone else's car and some drugs in the back seat. As the car tore down the highway with cops in hot pursuit, I watched through the camera of a pursuing helicopter. I couldn't pull my eyes away as the cars weaved around traffic and plunged through intersections. How more people weren't injured was beyond me, honestly. I was just thankful the traffic was so light that early in the morning. After about 20-some-odd minutes passed, the fleeing car lost traction on a turn and smacked into a nearby light pole, totaling the car. The cops' cars pulled up to the criminal, and then guns were drawn and commands were given. I couldn't help but keep my attention on the man standing in the frame. He was standing on a nearby home's rooftop, looking up at the helicopter. When the camera zoomed in on the scene, unfolding, I got a better look at the guy. He was the spitting image of me, right down to the loose white tee and Pokemon pajamas that I was wearing. The wind ruffled his clothing as his bare feet slid closer and closer to the edge of the two-story roof. I could feel myself lifting from the seat. I wasn't willingly doing it like I was having some out-of-body experience. Before I thought to reach for the remote, he slipped off the top of the house and fell to the ground, landing headfirst onto the cement. As he made impact, and his neck snapped, it was like it was made of toothpicks. I felt a sharp pain in my head. It was such an intense, hot agony that I dropped from the chair and fell to the floor. Hot coffee slowly enveloped my feet as it spilled from my discarded cup. I couldn't breathe. I could only squirm around on the floor, gasping for air. Then the criminal was detained and the broadcast ended. The pain dissipated from my body, finally able to control myself again. I pressed myself up with my palms. I heaved several heavy breaths. Shortly after managing to compose myself, I called off work. I needed the day to myself. Calling off work turned out to be for the best. My employer called me and informed me that someone had slipped something into the coffee at work, something I had been allergic to. I was told they were looking into it, but they wanted me and a few others to stay home for a while. He was worried it might have been something targeted at me due to the allergy. He didn't offer me much detail beyond that. I was definitely curious. I dwelled on the circumstance of what happened earlier in that morning, and hearing about the incident at work until I couldn't keep myself away. My company was big, and if something like that happened, it would get out to the local news, for sure. So I waited a few hours for the cycle to run its course before any news was introduced and flicked on the TV again. My nerves convinced me to switch on to a channel I don't normally watch, and sure enough, they were covering the incident. My employer must have permitted them to walk inside the offices. It looked like a ghost town. It was eerie to see the place I go to for 8 hours nearly every single day of the week be so empty and silent. The same place that had constant chorus of chattering and ringing phones. The camera panned through the cubicles, and every time it would show a clear shot of the aisles, I could see myself laying on the floor, the foam bubbling from my lips. As the broadcast continued, I could feel my throat start swelling up. Before it went any further, I lifted the remote and turned off the TV. I could see in the dark reflection that a small lump of light, yellow foam, was resting on the corner of my lips. I want to know more. I really do. The rest of the week, I decided to stay far away from any sort of live media. Even when I was linked articles from friends, I could see in the preview image for it that I was somewhere on the page. Whether I was behind a group of people taking a photo op or just standing alone in a scenic shot, I never clicked. Everyone wants answers to things they don't understand. I'm no exception to that. But every time I catch a glimpse of my doppelganger somewhere I'm not supposed to be, I can feel a heavy weight in my chest. It was naive to think that I could just ignore the problem. That I could just pull the television plug from the wall and forget all about it. I was supposed to return to work today. So 2 nights ago, I decided that I would go out and try to enjoy myself after a very stressful week. I went out to a bar, which is something I don't normally do. I wasn't paying attention as I sipped away, but the bartender had the local news station playing. The drink was getting to me, and my reactions weren't working as they should have, as my eyes pulled to the TV over the bar. I don't think anyone else saw it. No. How could have anyone else seen him, standing in the frame? The report was just a fluff piece to fill the time slot. A report speaking outside of a local sporting event about some sort of nonsense. He, or I, was standing right next to the reporter. I could see the details of the man clearer than I ever could before. Most notably, the smile that folded his cheeks in his searing gaze. We were making eye contact through the screen. I was tipsy, and I wasn't thinking straight. All I felt was an overwhelming fear. I looked down and felt my breath leaving me as I noticed the red flannel shirt I was wearing. Between the small conversations in the bar and the people protesting outside the bar, something about how the business next door was underpaying their employees, there was a crash of anxiety. Looking back at the TV, I saw my copy lifting his arm, and with it came a handgun clutched in his fingers. I lifted from my seat in panic. Everyone in the bar reacted to my sudden movement, and the man next to me attempted to ask if I was okay. It felt like vines were squeezing my heart and my head was becoming fuzzy, faces in the bar started to blur, and when I looked at the screen, I could see the gun's hammer dropping nearly in slow motion. Panicked and unthinking, I backed away from the bar and turned to exit. The man next to me tried to grab me, something about me being too drunk. I twisted free of his grasp and stumbled out to the door. Not wanting to give my copy enough time to put a bullet in his head, I clumsily stumbled through the door and lost my footing. Passing by a group of people, I finally caught my foot in the street. The car's horn was the last thing I heard before I woke up here, in the hospital. A layer of pain wraps my entire body, sitting just under the numerous cast that has been placed on the broken pieces of me, mainly my arms, which I landed on first. They told me I'd be in here for a while, and gave me my phone to keep myself busy. My phone's battery is dying, and it's late. I called for the nurse a few times, but the hospital remains pretty dark. I'm not worried about the phone, though. I'm not even worried about the pain that is keeping me awake. I'm worried about the neck brace that stops me from turning my head. I'm worried about my inability to reach the TV remote. I'm worried about the goddamn 24-hour news channel they left me with. Thanks for listening to this creepy and downright disturbing no sleep story, written by my friend author JoJo. This is the third story I've read from them, and honestly, I hope I get to read many more in the future. If you enjoyed this story, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you want to support the swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out our merch store. I've got t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, and everything else you could want. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium but still want to take your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go, you can download them for free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And as I said, the best part of it all is it's absolutely free. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this every day without you guys. And I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.